Well, good evening, everybody. How are you all doing? Good. Yeah, you survived the, what do they call it? It's a hurricane. Of course, in California, we just can't have a hurricane or a quake, earthquake. We have to put them together. All righty. So we are on Revelation, the fourth of five, getting times to get together and talk about things. Tonight is the night that we're going to talk about all the beasts that are coming up out of the water and all those kinds of things. So don't get scared and don't run away because it's super simple. It's super simple. All right. So what in the world is going on? We're going to find it. How many of you have ever watched a movie and you realize, I have no idea what they just did or what they, yeah, me too. Exactly. Well, so that goes for me. Sometimes I have to watch a movie over and over again, much to my husband's chagrin, because he thinks that you watch it one time, that should be it for life. But that's not the way I work. So as a young mom of four kids, I had two young boys, and in my younger days, this new adventure movie came out. And, I mean, it was packed with adventure and excitement and ideas that, you know, you never could imagine. And it was called Star Wars. So I have a couple questions I wrote down because I still don't get it. Okay, question number one. Okay, and raise your hand if you know these answers, okay? Because I need them. What was Yoda? And why was he living in a swamp? Really? Yeah. Okay, here's question number two. Did Leia have cold ears? Because she had, like, these bun things on her ears. And why did Darth Vader wear a mask? I mean, it wasn't Halloween. And yeah, you had to wait till lots of time after that, which was really the time before that. And I don't know, I got so confused. Okay, who could understand what Chewie was saying? Okay, one person. And why was the Emperor so mad all the time? Ooh, why was the Emperor? That was a guy, you know, he was evil. Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll go with that. Wouldn't it be nice though if they had subtitles so you could understand what everything was? They don't do that on the movie. You know, when we were in the theaters, and we actually were at the drive-in, and my kids were in their little jammies with their little footies on, and we're all watching, you know, the first Star Wars. All right, so my boys got into Star Wars, and I have to say right now, youngest son, if you're listening to this, I am very sorry about the lunch pail thing. Who would have known that I should save it forever? It's mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. Very sad indeed. Well, tonight, we're going to see some strange characters. Talking about Chewbacca and all that reminded me that there are some strange characters in the book of Revelation. Some of them are a baby-eating red dragon. Not the baby was eating the red dragon. The red dragon, the baby-eating red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns and a long tail. What was that? Okay, we're also going to see a disappearing baby. He just disappears. We're going to see a war with angels. Bad angels, good angels. We're going to talk about a woman chasing serpent. Okay, so it's not a woman that's chasing a serpent. It's a serpent chasing a woman chasing serpent. And we're going to talk about a wounded, killed, resurrected sea beast. Now, are those weird characters? Yeah, okay. All right, so we need to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. And Lord, we just give this night to you. And I pray, Father, that as we talk about these different strange characters, Lord, that you would just enlighten our hearts and our minds and help us to see that it's not as scary as what we all think it is. The book of Revelation is a book about the revelation of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in some of the things, Lord, you have put them into pictures and things that we might not understand right away. But as we look at them, Lord, your word is so good. And it's easy to understand, Lord, what's going on. So, Father, thank you. Guide us and direct us. And we ask this in your name. Amen? Amen. All right. So last time where we saw the seven trumpets, and we'll come back to the seven trumpets because I want to talk about each one of those. We talked about the three woes. Do you remember what those were? Those were the angels that God sent to the earth, to encircle the earth, to warn us of some things. We saw the midpoint of the tribulation. We saw the Antichrist in the temple, set himself up as God. And then we saw the Jews run for their lives. So let's go back to the trumpets for a second. Okay, there were seven seal judgments. Last week we saw seven trumpet judgments. Tonight we're going to see seven bowl judgments. So to refresh our memory about the seven trumpets, the first trumpet, now each of these were an angel, and the angel blows this first trumpet, and hail and fire and blood mixed together falls down to the earth. So when that happened, a third of all the trees were destroyed in the world. A third of the trees. And all of the grass was burned. Someone just make some little tick marks and see how many times we say the word a third, because there are a lot of thirds in this lesson tonight. So a third of the trees and all the grass burned. Then the second angel blows the second trumpet, and a burning mountain falls into the ocean. Now, do you think that was it a real mountain that just fell into the water? Why would John say it was like a burning mountain falling into the water? What do you think it was? An asteroid? Could be. A volcano? It could be, because it spews out things. Yeah, unfortunately, we don't know. But anyway, John saw a burning mountain fall into the ocean. And that caused a third of all the sea life and a third of all the ships that were the container ships, cruise ships, whatever ships were on the water at that point. So something impacted the ocean and killed a third of the fish, whether it was from the impact or maybe there's some poisonous thing on the whatever it was that fell into the ocean. Anyway, a third of sea life, a third of the ships. Then the third trumpet, was a falling star. So here's something else that is falling down to the earth, from above, falling down to the earth. Just like the falling mountain, now we have a falling star. And that did away with a third of the drinkable water. So that means that two-thirds of it was poison, right? No. A third was poisoned. So they still had two-thirds left. All right, the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun, moon, and stars were dimmed by a third. So when you look up in the sky, the sun, the moon, and the stars all looked dark. So there was like, it could have been a haze from a volcano, something like that. The fourth angel now see that it's in yellow. This indicates that this is the first woe. So it's the fifth trumpet and the first woe. So this is where the angel Abaddon or Apollyon. He was a fallen angel, and he has the keys to the bottomless pit. And he opened the pit, and these, who knows, whether they're demonic insects or, I mean, John didn't have the vocabulary in the first century to adequately describe what he was seeing. So something came up out of the ground and spread. Remember, it reminds me, one of my favorite movies is The Mummy. And, you know, they're always opening the mummy, the sarcophaguses and things, and all those little insects go out. Well, that's kind of like what this is. All these things are coming up out of the ground, the bottomless pit, whatever that is and wherever it is. It's down because they're coming up. And they have stingers, and they're stinging people, and the sting is so hurtful, it's so tremendously painful, that for 5 months people are in anguish from the sting. So that was the first woe and the seventh trumpet, or fifth trumpet. Okay, so the sixth trumpet, the angel blows, and the Euphrates River dries up, and because it's totally dry, an army comes across, and a third of the earth's population is killed. So that would be like an invasion. And we know that this army is coming from the east. The seventh woe, or the seventh trumpet, third woe, is the authority is given, the Lord is given authority over the kingdoms of the world. And it is said that the kingdoms of our Lord are now the kingdoms of the earth. Do you remember when Satan was cast out of heaven? He became the ruler, the prince of the power of the air. So he's been ruling the earth. And at this point now, Jesus has reclaimed the title deed to the earth, and now he is Lord of Lords. And then we talked also last week about the midpoint of the tribulation. This is, remember, the tribulation is 7 years. So at 3.5 years, the Antichrist now has risen to power, and he goes into the temple that's already been built. And let's go back to the Moses and Elijah. These are the two prophets. We have to highlight them first. They were at the midpoint of the tribulation. They have been talking for 3.5 years. They've been preaching in Jerusalem, and people are probably getting saved. But at the end of 3.5 years, they are killed. It says the Antichrist has the power now to kill them. But they lie in the street for 3.5 days. And remember, people are giving gifts like it's some holiday. So after 3.5 days, they rise up, just like Jesus did, and they ascend up into heaven. So that was a testimony to everybody, because, I mean, we can live stream everything right now. And so I'm sure that there were a lot of cameras seeing that these two witnesses died legitimately, because they weren't moving for 3.5 days. And then God allowed the breath of life to go into them, and they ascended up into heaven. So that probably caused quite a stir on the earth. Also, the Antichrist has gone into the temple. He set himself up as God. He says, "I am God, worship me." And so people are falling down. But that is called the abomination of desolation. That is the point where everything changes. So far, it's been, you know, maybe manageable, because you could still buy food, you could still buy clothes. But now, after this abomination of desolation, everything is going to change. When the scripture says, when you see the abomination of desolation, then run for, just run. He's telling the Jewish people, don't go up to your house, don't grab anything, just leave. And where we think that these people are leaving is to the rock city of Petra. Has anybody been there?
Yes. A baby. Totally a baby.
Okay, let's get this little guy over here. There's Petra. We're going to talk about Petra in a minute. Okay, and then there was the Mark of the Beast. The Mark of the Beast, he wants to be worshipped as God, so he's going to have everybody take his mark, which it says it's either the number of his name or something, but the significant number is 666. It's interesting that 6 is the number of incompletion. 7 is the number of completion. So 666, whether it's tattooed into your right hand or on your forehead, it could be a tattoo, it could be a chip, an electronic kind of a chip. We're not quite sure what it is, but people are going to have to do that. And there's 666. And then also at the midpoint of the tribulation, we have the three angels. The first angel was preaching the gospel. So there, God is showing himself that, you know what, he still cares about people. He's sending a specific angel all the way around the world. And I'm sure it's not just, you know, just on the equator or something. People, everybody is going to be able to hear this. So it's one last chance to hear the gospel from an angel. I would think that that would be pretty impressive. And then the second angel encircles the earth as well and says that Babylon is fallen. And we'll talk about Babylon tonight. And the third angel says, don't take the mark of the beast. If you take the mark of the beast, there is no chance of salvation for you. So God is warning the people on the earth about that. So all that was review. Tonight, we're going to talk about the woman, the beast, the war, the seven bowl judgments, the mystery Babylon, and then bye-bye Babylon. And so that's going to, we're going to be going quickly, a very broad overview of those things. All right, so John looks around. Oh, we're in chapters 12, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18. John turns around and sees a great vision in heaven. He sees a woman. And this woman has specific characteristics. So he sees the woman. All right? And the woman is clothed with the sun. She has the moon under her feet. She has 12 stars on her head. I don't know if you can see it on the picture there. And she's ready to give birth, and she is representing the nation of Israel. So the woman that's pregnant, and all of those, the sun, the moon, the star, the 12 stars, all of those are significant, and we'll talk about those if you are going to the more in-depth study. But for tonight, all we need to know is she represents the nation of Israel, and that's in Revelation 12:1. Then John sees a fiery red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns who is ready to devour her baby. So she is just about ready to give birth, and the dragon is there to devour the baby. Of course, the red dragon is Satan. And has Satan always wanted to kill? Yes, thank you. I heard you. Always. I mean, think when Jesus was born, and Herod thought that this king had been born, so he killed all the baby boys 3 years old and under. I mean, there has always been some way that Satan has wanted to try to kill the lineage of Jesus. It's always. And he's doing it here, too. So that the red dragon represents Satan. And the baby is the Messiah, Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who was born in a manger, in a stable, in a lowly condition, and his only purpose for coming to the earth was to die for the sins of you and me. That was his purpose. So the child is Jesus, It says that he will rule with a rod of iron, and he's caught up to heaven, just like the rapture. Great words there, caught up, like rapture. And then the woman flees into the wilderness, and the Antichrist begins to persecute the Jews. And that's Romans 12:6. Okay, so she most likely will go to the rock city of Petra. That it doesn't say that in the Bible, but what we need to know is God has prepared a place for her from a long time ago. So there are some great videos. I just watched one last night. If you still have Disney, I still do, but don't tell anybody. It's by National Geographic, and it's about the rock city of Petra. And let me tell you, Petra is in Jordan, so it's not in Israel. It's in a neighboring country, Jordan. You can also find a lot of videos on YouTube, so just look for Petra. But it's an amazing place. It was built about 2,000 years ago by the Nabatine. And they were nomadic traders. And it took about 200 years to build. And this particular picture that's on there is a treasury and a burial place. And the interesting thing is, they're all the mountains in that area are sandstone. And so they started at the top of this building and worked their way down. And it's an incredible thing just to see how they actually built it. Anyway, the rock city of Petra, they're surrounded by mountains, and there's only one like little gorge that you can get to get into this valley. And that's called, I think, the Sig, maybe. And what that is a very narrow passage. Maybe one person, maybe two could squeeze through at a time. But that's a natural defense, because what's happening at this time, the Antichrist will send out his troops, and it says that there's a great flood that's following the woman as she is running away in the wilderness. And the great flood could either be water, or it could be, you know, a lot of soldiers that are chasing the Jews as they are running to the rock city of Petra. So if Petra is the place, it's amazing that God has prepared this place for them 2,000 years ago, they built this thing. God has prepared a place to protect the Jews for 3.5 years. That is amazing to me. Within Petra, they redirected the water, making pipes and reservoirs so that they could have water year-round, because this is in a very desert, kind of an arid place. They had natural hot springs that they used to create warm baths and thermal spas. And at its height, about 2,000 or 20,000 to 30,000 people live there. They even carved an amphitheater. I think I have a picture of that. There's the little tiny narrow part where you go into this place. And the Jews are going to be there 1,260 days, which is the same as 42 months, which is the same as 3.5 years. So they're spending the last part of the tribulation in a place prepared for them. Again, I would tend to think that it's Petra. There is the amphitheater, and this will hold many, many people. There's many caves, there's rock quarries, and they got the sandstone blocks to build buildings, and they are on the top of an earthquake fault. And I think it's very interesting. I mean, God is so smart. So these people who are nomadic and somehow learn to design these buildings, there's one building that's left standing that is not attached to any of the mountains, and it was used as a place of worship. But what they did is they put the blocks on top of each other, and then They put a layer of timber. Then they build more blocks, put a layer of timber. And because of that timber, when there is an earthquake, the timber, the wood, absorbs the shocks. So this building has stayed standing for over 2,000 years. I mean, I'm amazed. I really am amazed. It's just, it's awesome what God does. And if this is the place again that God prepared for them all these years ago, he's our God. He's so smart. He's so wise. I mean, you can see it would be so easy just to trust him. Just trust him. Easy to say, hard to do. I know. Okay, so let's leave Petra. So the woman is running to Petra. They're going to stay there 3.5 years. Then John sees a war in heaven. And this is where Satan and his fallen angels are cast down to the earth. And Satan has been cast out, but he has had the ability all these years since he was cast out. He's had the ability to come and stand before God. And what he does is he says, I'm accusing Lisa. I want to tell you, God, what she has been doing. Sorry, I'm picking up on you. She does not even deserve to be a Christian, and he's using all of us. Every little mistake we make, Satan has been standing in front of God, accusing us of the things that we have done wrong, even things that have been forgiven. So at this point now, he is down to the earth, and he has no longer access to heaven. So he's fighting with Michael, and Michael is fighting with the dragon here. This is a famous painting. Michael is an archangel, and this is the only archangel that we know of, or at least has that title in the Bible. And he is the protector of Israel. He's also the highest ranking warrior angel, and he wars with his angel army against Satan, and Satan is cast to the earth. So John sees the war. And so Satan is cast down to the earth, and he can no longer have access to heaven. Then John hears the angel saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accuse them before our God day and night has been cast down. And that's Revelation 12:10. So you can imagine this Satan, this devil, is going to be very, very upset. Wouldn't you be upset if you were cast out of heaven? Yeah, I would too. All right, now we start seeing some weird things. Out of the sea comes this beast that John sees. And the beast is the Antichrist. There's the beast from the sea. Usually when you see something coming up out of the sea, it's the sea means the mankind. So this beast is coming up through, I mean, he's a real person. He has a mom and a dad. He's going to school. I mean, he's eating McDonald's, In-N-Out. I mean, he's a real person. He's not some spiritual being. So the Antichrist is a real person. It says that in Revelation that he had a mortal head wound. So either he got shot in the head or something happened that he actually died and was resurrected. Now, who does that sound like? If you're trying to mimic God, doesn't that sound like Jesus? So they're trying to deceive people. And so the beast had a mortal head wound that was healed. And the people are beginning to worship the beast. Now, they're not calling him Mr. Beast or something. He has a name, but he is totally evil. He is the instrument, the puppet of Satan himself. And he caught there's another beast. That's Revelation 13. Another beast, this time, comes from the earth. And he's a very smooth-talking, kind of a person, very charismatic. And what he wants to do is get everybody to worship the beast or the Antichrist. And so he is the false prophet, and he's like the sidekick to the Antichrist. So the Antichrist, false prophet, Satan is almost like a trinity. Satan, God, Antichrist, Jesus, false prophet, Holy Spirit. So the false prophet is there, and he is going to tell everybody, let's make an image of our Antichrist. And so they do, and the false prophet has the ability to make this image breathe and speak, and it even knows if you've taken the mark of the beast or not. Now, I'm just saying, do we have any technology that would kind of help that now? Yes, AI fits perfectly in there. Artificial intelligence. What a great time to be alive right now, because we can figure these things out. And he also says that those without the mark of the beast will be killed. They will not be able to buy or sell. They can go starve. They don't care. You must take the mark of the beast. And then he sees other images coming up. So basically that's the basic things. The woman is the nation of Israel. The baby is Jesus. The beast with the 7 heads and 10 horns. We had the fiery dragon, which was Satan. The beast that was that, all those animals together, all of those are significant. I mean, by Jesus, God doesn't put anything in there that doesn't mean something. He doesn't say random things. But that's a huge study in itself. All right, are there any questions yet before we get into the last judgments? Any questions at all? None whatsoever, yes. I think so. I mean, he's accusing us day and night. All right, so let's, yes.
Who is the seven-headed beast?
Okay, let me go back. That's fine. I mean, okay, that, the seven-headed beast, and can you see the little 10 horns on the top? That is symbolic of the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. The red dragon, who had 7 heads and 10 horns, was Satan, or image of Satan. The red dragon is Satan. The other one is the Antichrist. No. No. It's like a trinity. It's almost like Satan is the one that has the power to possess the Antichrist. But they're separate entities. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They go together until the Antichrist turns on him. The Antichrist turns on the false prophet because he doesn't want to share his glory with anybody. So he has used him and then cast him away. The false prophet at the beginning, yes, did get the people to follow the Antichrist. But as the Antichrist goes on in the last 3.5 years, he's getting more and more powerful. And, he doesn't want to share anything with the false prophet. So, and the false prophet represents the religious aspect. So we know that there's going to be a global religion, and all these different parts of all different kinds of religions are going to be meshed into one. And it will be centered around the Antichrist. So towards the end, the Antichrist will want to take over everything that has to do, with his agenda. And so that will basically kick out the false prophet. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So we talked about the seal judgments. We talked about the trumpet judgments. Oops. And tonight we're going to talk about the bowl judgments. Okay, so it's almost like for the seal judgments, it's like God is kind of preparing the world. Okay, we had the first horseman of the apocalypse. It was a white horse, and it represented the Antichrist. The second horse was black, and that represented, it was red, and that represented war. Then war is followed by famine, and famine is followed by death. Okay, then we had on the fifth seal, John saw underneath the throne room, the floor, the sea of glass, and under the altar, he saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because they came to the Lord after the rapture. After the rapture, you come to the Lord, it says they are beheaded. So these souls are waiting to be redeemed by God. Then the trumpet judgments, it seemed like all the trumpet judgments came on the earth. Okay, we had the drinking water, we had the fish. It was like ecological bad things happening. The bowl judgments are very different. So the first bowl judgment is poured out, and the angels pour out. They don't blow a trumpet, they don't open a seal, they're pouring out onto something, and we'll see more of that later. The first thing that happens is people who have taken the mark of the beast or worship the Antichrist all of a sudden come down with loathsome sores. And it's only on the people who have the mark of the beast or have worshiped the beast. Quite a coincidence, I think.
So the mark, I mean, they have it tattooed or burnt?
It was tattooed. It could be a chip underneath. It could be, who knows? Okay. Something has gone terribly wrong. Because of that process, people are very sick. So that's the first. The second bowl is poured onto the sea, and it says the sea became like dead man's blood, and every living creature dies. Every living creature in the ocean dies. Every living creature in the ocean dies. Now, if you know anything about heaven, there is not going to be a sea. This would be the last time that there was something in the ocean, because the new heaven and the new earth do not have a sea, an ocean. No, you better get it in now while you got the chance. Yeah. Now, if maybe there's something that takes the place of it, we know that there's rivers and streams and things, but no ocean. So every living sea creature dies. The third angel takes the bowl and pours it onto the water, and all of the water is poisoned, undrinkable. There's no fresh water. Okay, these are pretty strong things that are happening here. The fourth angel pours the bowl onto the sun, and the sun, whether it's solar flares or what, men are, men and women, are scorched by the sun. And the bowl number five is total darkness in the kingdom of the Antichrist. And it says that is total darkness, and people gnawed their tongues because of the pain. I guess it was so dark that it was painful. And they gnawed their tongues, but yet they continue to blaspheme God. Blaspheme just means to curse God. They did not repent, and this is only affected in the Antichrist kingdom, this total darkness. Then the sixth angel takes the bowl and pours it onto the Euphrates River. And again, the Euphrates River dries up, and all this army gathers. Let me go back a minute. The waters dry up. The kings of the east prepare for war. Unclean spirits are released. So there's this stirring up the people who are left on the earth. The have them all come together. Let's go and let's fight God. We've had enough of God. So this army is gathering the people, and they're going to go to the Valley of Megiddo, which is Armageddon. This is where we get, you know, the Battle of Armageddon. Do you think they're going to win? No. So the people gather to battle the King of Kings. And what a strong delusion made them think that they could actually fight with God. But this is what's happened here. And see this picture? This is an actual picture from the Hubble telescope. And when you look at that, I mean, God is amazing. It says he stretched out the heavens like a curtain. That's a curtain. And there are so many wonders and things that we don't even know about. It's amazing. So people are going to gather together and let's get rid of God once and for all. Yeah. The seventh seal or seventh bowl was poured into the air. And John heard a voice saying, "It is done." It's like God is saying, "That's it. I'm done." So the seventh bowl is poured into the air, and a huge earthquake happens. It divides Jerusalem into thirds. All the cities of the nations fall. Bible says that every island is gone. Yeah. Every island is gone. It says that every mountain is gone. Whether they fall down, whether they're a gigantic tsunami, I don't know. But this is just God shaking the earth and saying, "What are you doing? I love you. I want you to be my child." And men are, you know, up there cursing God. And to add on top of that, hail falls that are 75 pounds apiece. Yeah, 75-pound hail. Now, this man, that's a big hailstone, but that is nothing compared to a 75-pound one. Do you think that any of this is getting people's attention? No, they're all out on Armageddon, ready to go do battle. And the response is that men curse God. They are so angry. They are still cursing God because their lives have been upset. God's trying to get their attention, and they're cursing. So I think it's interesting. They curse God, so that means that they recognize there's a God, but they're cursing him. They would still rather worship their gods made of silver, gold, wood, and brass. So going to the town of, or going to Babylon. Babylon is a place and it's a system. Okay, so it's an actual place. We're not sure where it is. If it's going to the place where the Tower of Babel was, that would be in Iraq. Iraq, right? I think so. Thank you. Iraq, modern day Iraq. This first tower was built by Nimrod. You probably remember that from Bible study. And it was like this tower that just got smaller and smaller and smaller. It was like a ziggurat, I think is what it's called. Interesting that the European Union Parliament used the picture of this tower climbing up to nowhere as their to design their building out of, their building to look like that. Why on earth would they? Makes no sense. All right, so Babylon was a place. Nebuchadnezzar was in Babylon. They had the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, beautiful artwork and things. This new Babylon, wherever it is by a seaport, And there's many that talks about all the kind of merchandise that comes in and out of this place called Babylon. And of course, the Antichrist, you know, has his hands in everything. Some of the things that Babylon is going to be importing and exporting, it lists them all in, I don't remember what chapter right here, but some of the things are gold, precious stones, fine linen, citron wood, bronze, spices, oils, for all you frankincense oil girls, cattle, sheep, silver, pearls, purple and scarlet silk, ivory. Where do you get ivory? From elephants. Are they still poaching elephants? They're trading it with ivory, iron, marble, fine flour, wheat, horses, chariots. Okay, that sounds kind of like today. And the saddest thing that they are dealing in says the body and souls of men. It's human trafficking, right there. Still, this is almost after 7 years, because we're almost at the end. They're still trying to enslave people, which is really sad that they are still doing this. So it says also in the Bible that Babylon is a very wealthy city and much wealth comes from its corruption. So while the rest of the world is starving, or the people who haven't accepted the 666, they're trying to find food somewhere. The people who live in Babylon and the merchants who are so rich, they don't care. So you have the extremely poor and extremely wealthy. Then something happens. Scripture says in 1 hour, the entire system and place cease to exist. In 1 hour, she is made desolate, it says. Babylon is made desolate. Uh-huh. In 1 hour. So if it's a nuclear explosion, whatever it is, it has... what do you call it? Raised? Is that what you call a raise when everything falls down? Is that the right word? Let me put it. It's leveled. Everything is leveled on there. And there's something about whatever destroyed the city. People are afraid to get close to the city. So that could, you know, sound like radiation or something. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But it does say that men are afraid to go into the town after this great city, Babylon, has been destroyed. And it says in Scripture that for by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. And because of that, God has leveled it. So there is my person looking at it from afar. And the sad thing is, all her riches came to nothing. So the church has been raptured. It's been going, it went up to heaven. We've seen the power of God at work. We've seen the seal judgments, the new believers martyred. We saw the trumpet judgments affecting nature. And now the bold judgments are actually destroying the earth. God has also sent his word through the angels that encircle the earth. Remember, the 144,000 Jewish evangelists are still alive because, remember, they have the seal of God on them and they have been protected. The two witnesses were seen globally out of Jerusalem. And the remaining inhabitants were warned not to worship the beast. Don't take the mark. And man's reaction to a loving God was cursing and anger. God is just. He's going to do what is right. Just means he does what's right. Good people who love him, those are his children. People who curse him, they are not his children. He's given them the chance to come to him. So people cannot say, how can God be a loving God and send people to hell? Yes, he doesn't send anybody to hell. The people who are going to be in hell have chosen to be in hell because they have not chosen to be with God. So instead, the people choose to worship idols. He chose death over life, darkness over light, and Satan over God. So the time for choice is gone. God has said, it is done. And all that's left now is to rid the earth of evil and to set up God's kingdom on the earth. So what do we take away from tonight? Because this can be very discouraging. First of all, God has a plan. Second, God sees. Third, God is just. And now we'll go back and talk about each one. All right, God has a plan. If God has a plan for this whole book of Revelation and has told us all these things that are going to happen, he told us what to look for when you see these things happen, know that, you know, I'm coming. If he has a plan, then I can trust his plan, right? The whole Bible, remember from Genesis to Revelation, is the unveiling of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So for me, it would be foolish to trust anybody else. I'm a planner. God's the ultimate planner. He has a plan for me. Of course, the verse we're going to have is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. That's what I want to stick with. I want somebody to be my God who has my best interests in mind. So God has a plan. Next takeaway, God sees. What does he see? He sees all the things that are going to happen. He's omniscient. Omniscient means he knows what's going to happen. He sees what's going on in our lives right now. He sees what's going to go on in the people who have rejected him. He sees what's going on in the people who are calling him as Lord and Savior. So he sees what's happening. And if he sees what's happening now, and he knows what's going to be in the future, so I don't have to worry about my future. He knows me, he loves me, he sees what's going on. I can trust him. I don't have to worry anymore. Thank God for that. Proverbs 15:3 says, this is one of my favorite ones, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. So just think, having God's eyes going back and forth saying, oh, I like what she did. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, I saw that. I mean, that's just amazing. And then the third takeaway is, God is just. He has justice oriented. He's going to take care of the good and he's going to deal with the bad. And if he is like that, all I have to do is choose to do what's right and good, follow his plan, and don't worry about what other people are doing. My focus has to be on the Lord. There's a lot of weird things going on right now. A lot of bad things. I just read a prophecy update today, and they're predicting in 2030, just like the World Economic says, that you'll own nothing, but you'll be happy. Okay, they're adding on to that, that by that time, we would really like to do away with cows, with meat, dairy, and something else. I can't think of what that other is. And we would like to genetically engineer humans to be smaller so they don't make such a carbon footprint. And get this one, ladies, store up right now. You're only allowed to have 3 clothing items a year per person. If anybody needs a verse, you know, to go shopping, there it is. I mean, there's just weird things happening. God is just, though, and since God is just, I will choose to do what's right and not worry about the bad things or the weird things or the ridiculous things that people are doing. I just need to get my mind on and focus my eyes on the Word of God, know what He says, because there's going to be a great delusion at the end, and I don't want to be fooled, and I know you don't want either to be fooled. So know what His Word says. The verse that goes with this is Revelation 15:3. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so next time we're going to finish up, and we have so much to go through. But this is the good news one, so you want to make it. The marriage supper and the Bema seat, His second coming and the enemy going. We're going to talk about the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the earth, the great white throne judgment, which is different than the Bema seat judgment, way different, and a new heaven and a new earth. All right, so any questions? Okay, our memory verse is just be still. Be still and know I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So that is going to happen. So let's just go with it. Let's make sure we're on the right side of the track, so to speak, that we're going to go up in the first batch, the rapture. And don't stick around, because you're not going to enjoy it. Even if you want to go in the ocean a little bit longer, it's not worth it. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you are in charge. You are just. You see everything. You have a plan, Lord. It is so much bigger than what we can figure it out. So, Lord, just let us be focused on you. Lord, let us just devour your word and be able to know what a deception is and what your true word is. Thank you, Father. You are good. You are loving. And you want your children to be with you. And thank you, Father, for making us your children. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Any other questions? All right. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to this heart-to-heart women's Bible study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the heart-to-heart women's ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.